This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Freak show, something to see.
Got them lined up
and waiting, taking bullets for me. Chucking down a one-way street.
You better move,
my tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Welcome into the Hardline, 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and 5-9thefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, along with the voice of your Slew Billikens, Bob Ramsey. John Hadley here as well today, on time, somehow, some way. Matt Rocky running the board for us. We are all depressed after what was a spectacularly bad weekend of college basketball for Missouri and Slew fans. Before we get into that, though, I want to talk about what is the coolest event of the year, every year, that I get the privilege to play in. Albert Pujols does his celebrity all-star game now. Celebrity, obviously, a bit of a stretch since they let me play in it. But it is awesome. We're not the celebrities. It is to celebrate the talents of young adults with Down syndrome.
Well, and TJ, if you buy your ticket,
they don't let you on the court.
They have to let you in.
Not on the court, though. They even gave me a jersey. But, I wasn't the celebrity. The young adults were. It was spectacular. Albert is still, it's like he never left. I mean, the applause he gets, and it is packed. It's at MoBap every year. And he, Brad Thompson was there. Randy Carricker was the MC. They had Anthony Bonner, all-time leading scorer at SLU, who, by the way, looks like he could still play on an NBA team.
He is a physical freak of nature.
Every year, Andy McCullough comes out. Andy Bennis was there. I'm forgetting some guys, but it was pretty awesome. Obviously, Albert was there, too. But the guy that looks like he hasn't lost a step, fellas, Aeneas Williams.
Oh, really?
Aeneas Williams, this was unbelievable. So, by the way, Missouri Baptist is really good this year. They're like 20-1 or something.
Oh, they're fantastic.
All right. And so they're trying to throw these long passes, and it took me back to when I'm 11 years old. Aeneas Williams has not lost a step. He was undercutting these passes like he was catching up to a fade route every time. I mean, they'd try to throw it long. Somebody would be cherry-picking, and Aeneas would take off, undercut it, and catch it just like a football. He probably did that 10 times. It was unbelievable. Obviously, most of us can't jump like we probably used to be able to. Aeneas didn't throw any down, but he could still fly around.
I jumped exactly the same height today that I did 35 years ago.
That's a shame.
So the worst part of the night, though, we all sort of, it's like you'd play with seven or eight guys in the court, as many as we wanted to, and it's just kind of a fun thing. Andy Bennis, at one point, they kicked it to the corner. He jumped off the bench and blocked a shot. Fun stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
Fred Bird was out there, and the Missouri Baptist Spartan was running around on the court. So at one point, I threw the ball in the MoBat mascot, came over and kind of like, stuck a hand in like they were going to steal it. So I sort of threw my shoulder into, I thought, him. And it wasn't a him. The mascot topples over, the head comes off, and it's this poor girl. And I'm like, ah.
I believe.
And the poor girl put her head back on and ran off the court.
There's a story like that, and I won't know the details. My memory's so bad. But I believe former D1 coach at many different places, Kevin O'Neill. People around here remember when he was at Marquette in the same league as the Billikens. I believe it was Kevin that punched out the Wisconsin Badger.
Jeez.
Punched him out.
I feel better now.
And then found out it wasn't punching him out.
Yeah.
It was a girl.
Yeah.
It was a bad deal.
You just never expect a mascot to be a girl. That's just, in my head, it's a goofy guy under there dancing around, probably sweating too much.
Girl can't be a mascot, TJ,
and like,
huh?
They can be, and they clearly are. I just didn't think I was putting my shoulder into a girl, or else
pretty
I would have
sure
done it.
Pretty sure over half the people who play Truman every year are girls.
Really?
Because you have to do all this, because it's a lot of gymnastics and dance-based things. And so almost all of them, I want to say like three-fourths are usually girls every year.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just off. It's just been my assumption that they're guys. I'm totally off on
also
that.
Also because of the size, the head,
usually, now this was a little bit shorter one, but I didn't think twice about it. I just sort of just, we were just goofing around, and the poor girl, I mean, knocked her off her feet. flat on her side, head comes off, and then, you know, embarrassed and scrambling to get back. And anyway, that's
it. Oh, my God.
It was a packed house, too.
You should have just went over and hugged her and just...
Okay, was told later.
Picked her head across the floor. The
I still didn't know it was a girl until after the game when somebody told me. They're like, that was hilarious when you knocked that girl over. I said, what do you mean? Because I never looked back. Everybody's
that's
laughing.
Beautiful.
So anyway, it was a lot of fun. We were all flying around. Albert should play linebacker. I say this every year, but the dude is like, and for a guy that, you know, played through the PED era and was never really accused of anything, he's sort of been the outlier on that. Nobody really accuses Albert outside of, who was a Jack Clark. Nobody accuses Albert of too much. And that dude is freaking stacked. I mean, he looks just like the linebackers that used to knock my head off.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know how I feel about the, you know how I feel about the dude?
No, we really don't.
No, huh? No,
I've said it a million times. I've talked about how he works, how his work ethic down in Jupiter.
Yeah.
The time he put in before and after most people had come and gone. And
for many, many of us in the media, could he be surly with the media? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
However, his dedication to his craft is unparalleled. And his dedication to kids, especially to all kids, but especially kids with Down syndrome, is spectacular.
No question.
Absolutely spectacular. And giving back to the game, too. I saw on Twitter somewhere over the weekend, he was teaching...
Yeah, Big Poppy's kid.
Big Poppy's kid.
Yeah.
How awesome.
That is awesome.
How awesome to have Albert Pujols to tell you his thoughts on hit. Oh, my God, that was really cool.
On the other hand, the Bo Weevil of Vivo Mill, TJ, you're a rude, terrible person.
So we can all get on board with that. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the mascot, but I think that stands alone.
Of course. Next topic.
You know what is strange?
People are strange.
I never really checked to see how they were listed height and weight wise.
Music reference.
But you know who a guy is? A guy who is, when Big Poppy stands next to Frank Thomas, Frank Thomas is still more of an imposing figure than Big Poppy.
There was somebody had a poll on Twitter today. I voted fool. And... Why do I even get involved? But voted, who are the best hitters you've ever seen in person? All right? I had Pujols. But I couldn't just do one. I had to do five or six guys. But I had Pujols one. But behind him for, you know, right-handed hitters, power hitters, Frank Thomas was really the best I'd seen until Albert came along.
Yeah.
And their careers really parallel each other a great deal in that at the midpoint or somewhere in what should have been the midpoint, circumstances affected them, and the second half of their career was not transcendent like the first half was. Thomas had some injuries. He went through a bitter divorce, and life kind of slowed him down. And Albert with plantar fasciitis and then other ensuing injuries, you know, took away his lower half in a game where you have to have it. It's interesting how those two great hitters, it's real similar.
And, you know, it's funny that you even broached that topic of plantar fasciitis, because that is a injury that has brought down some big, tough guys, man. That basically did it in Grant Wistrom.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
Plantar fasciitis is, it's similar to turf toe. When you hear it, you're like, oh, that's no big deal. But it's
toe.
It's like
I can get
the worst
toe.
Thing in the world. Chase Kaufman, his senior year was basically wrecked for that. And turf toe is not even a toe, obviously. That's the ligament underneath the ball of your foot. I don't know why.
Where that main joint is, right? Yeah. With the big toe.
Yep. And you can't hardly walk. It's that bad.
I've had...
That's a plantar fasciitis similar. You're like, what is that?
Yeah.
But it's killer.
I've had plantar very mild relative to some of these guys. Takes a while to get over it, but I had a very mild case, and even the mild case, really, it's very upsetting.
This seems like, and I don't know why I think this, but...
I've been a large man most of my life. My feet have been smashed down. I don't have an arch, so...
When you walk, your tracks look like a duck walking.
If you guys don't know
just
what...
Just a big flat splotch.
If you don't know what it is, plantar fasciitis is a disorder of the connective tissue, which supports the arch of the foot.
Yep.
So but no, seriously, that's one that's brought down some pretty tough guys.
And there's probably people you have mild cases like I have. What's wrong with my foot? Especially when you get out of bed in the morning and you put those feet down and take that first step, it'll scream at you. And then after a while, if you've got a mild case, it'll loosen up and go away. But it'll be there for a while.
Yep. Jeremy Macklin had that.
Did
he? Yeah, for a long time, and it really screwed with him.
So, no, that's cool. What Pujols does, I never really cared for, I mean, Yachty is not the most friendly media guy. In fact, Yachty can be a real a-hole to the media.
So, the objective people.
But.
Yeah, am I judging? Yes. Objective people will say, okay, not great with the media. That's too bad for the fans because we're just trying to get it to the fans. However, I can judge him on how he works, performs,
yep.
what kind of teammate he is, what kind of leader or not. You judge, if you're objective, you just judge in those things, and not how he sucks up to you because you got a microphone.
Right. And I think for the most part, Yachty treats fans reasonably well.
I think so too.
Pujols goes out of his way. McGuire was a little iffy.
And look what Molina did for people in Puerto Rico.
Right.
I mean,
ultimately, if they work well with the fans and they take care of their business, I don't, because you know what?
I agree.
For the most part, I really don't. There's 90% of the media in this town want to be buddies with athletes. Last thing I need is to be buddies with athletes.
Dude. I can't tell you how many times talking to kids who think they want to be sportscasters, whether it's high school kids, college kids, I try to tell them two things. A lot of your candidates who have stars in their eyes are either extreme sports nerds,
yep.
or they really love sports and maybe kind of jock sniffers. And I say, look, if you want to hang out with athletes, don't be in the media. They're rich and you're poor. It doesn't mix.
Right.
You don't hang out the same way.
Right.
I said, if you want to have ball players as your friends, get rich and then get involved with your money. That's how you get involved with pro athletes. You got to be rich.
Or deal steroids.
Well, there's another avenue. You're always thinking of all the angles.
That's
I like that.
That's right. No, that is good stuff. So anyway, that was a blast this weekend, and I truly think that's the best event that happens in St. Louis every year. There's 20-something odd young adults with Down syndrome who it is the greatest day of their life every
right,
year.
Right, right.
It's just the coolest thing.
Very cool.
And somehow we always win. It just works out that way. We're playing a 20-1 Missouri Baptist team. Guy hit a game winner. We dogpiled on him. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Isn't that a great charity for a great event. Missouri Baptist goes out. They host the thing. They put their basketball court. All they want to do is just have a great day and a great time. But what does it come down to, TJ? Assaulting a woman and beating up on teenagers playing college basketball. Oh, good day, TJ. Good day.
It was a lot of fun. Oh, Jacob
Thank
Tucker.
You very much.
Do you guys remember Jacob Tucker, the Illinois State dunk competition champion?
He's like a
YouTube sensation. You could do like 360 dunks. He's like 5'10" white guy.
I don't get on the U face very much.
Well, neither does Bill Belichick. And my face, Insta face, all the faces, get the F off of them. That's what he told us. And yeah. So anyway, he's always there. So it's great. He didn't do it this year, but each of the last few years, he will jump over somebody and dunk it. It's
cool.
Pretty spectacular.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he was such a great dunker at Illinois State. His stuff went viral, and they let him in the D1. Dunk competition. He was that good.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. So anyway, really cool event. We wanted to start with something positive. Now let's get to the negative. Does anybody think Jordan Goodwin has slept since Saturday night?
No.
I don't either. And I told you about this and get inside your own head. I stayed up all night on the off chance that I might drop a fumble, and I didn't sleep for a whole night. And then he went out and did drop the fumble.
Quick aside.
The game.
Quick aside, little triggers. When you get old, there are little triggers
that normally...
At my age, your brain doesn't really work at all. But every now and then, there'll be a trigger word or phrase. And I pictured you doing that greatest football movie ever, North Dallas 40. And the one running back, they just show him getting before the game, and all these sweat before the game pouring. I can't fumble. I can't fumble.
Yep.
I can't fumble. Yep. I can't fumble. And
the first thing you need to go out and fumble.
Right.
This similar to, and this one's weird, the greatest that never was. Do you see that 30 for 30?
No.
The Oklahoma running back, Marcus Dupree. He said, I swear to you, I knew my whole life I was going to blow out my ACL. And it happened, and I knew it. And we're like,
arguably the best running back that I've ever seen.
He was unbelievable.
Aside from Barry Sanders.
Really amazing.
It is. You are the master of your own destiny when it comes to negative. It's not always true with the positive, but it can be.
How about you start chanting to yourself, I'll never plow over a woman again.
Well,
all right. I guess I could do that. Anyway, my point is,
plow over a woman in a mascot uniform on a basketball court. Well, no, that's actually sort of cool. No, I think, never mind.
Go ahead. If there's one way to do it, I think that's it, where you don't usually get arrested. So anyway, poor Jordan Goodwin. Okay, for those of you who did not follow, Jordan Goodwin, there was a close game on Saturday night that yours truly there, Bob Ramsey, was calling. Jordan Goodwin, they're down by one.
Great call, by the way. Great call. Do we have the call? Are we allowed to run the call?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
No,
great call, though,
before
leading
you,
up to him walking to the free throw line.
Before you get to that, though.
Well, you were there. You tell the story.
And this makes it worse for him. You have a one-point lead. There's like they have the ball back with a few seconds left, 7-8 seconds. With 5 seconds left, you're playing man, right? No fouls, right? You don't want him to go to the line. You've got one of your better defenders, Fred Thatch, on the kid that had an unbelievable night, John Axel Goodmanson, and he's on him, got him locked up. Kid's a right-handed shot. He's going to his left, so to get his shot off, he's got to change that momentum and shoot. That's very important in this deal. And out of nowhere, trying to make a play, but just not connecting on time, score, and situation, Goodwin comes from out of nowhere, flies out, and fouls him. Not didn't try to foul him. He tried to get the ball. You know, you're thinking, I steal the ball, game over, hooray. But you don't need to steal the ball there.
Right.
You don't need to do it. And he got caught. So they hit 2 free throws, and now they're up by one. And that's where you were. So that actually compounds his agony. It compounds it. Then he goes to the line, and probably what hurt the mental image, what do they call it when you're that mental training where you foresee yourself making it? What's the
mental imagery?
Yeah, but you're positive, whatever. Anyway.
Visualization?
Yeah. Visualization, sorry.
I call it Alabama Hoochie.
Okay. Well, he didn't have the Alabama Hoochie going. And so, you know, he realizes he messed up to get to this moment. And that had to be just more weight on his shoulders. I'm here and need to do this because I made that mistake. And as it's unfold, it's like when you're seeing a car wreck in slow motion. It was heartbreaking. Now, one of the reasons it's heartbreaking, I'd probably feel this way for any of the kids, but for Jordan Goodwin, a local kid playing for his local school, he is one of the emotional leaders on the club without question. He believes in it. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, lip service, but that Team Blue thing and winning for SLU and all, he believes it.
Right.
He's completely bought in. And so that even makes it worse. This is not a shot at anybody on any given team, but he's not a mercenary coming in for a season. Right. Or even a transfer student who's trying to figure out, well, what's it all about to be a Billiken or a Tiger or an Elite. We know.
Right.
But this is a guy who grew up in the city. It's where he wanted to be. He's playing there. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. He's in tears after the game. It's brutal.
Well, tell him what happened.
So he missed both free throws.
So my question point. Is...
So he fouled him with 5.7, got down the floor. We miss a shot. He goes for the putback. Oh, I forgot about that. The putback, had it gone in, we win. It came off, but he was fouled.
Mm-hmm. With time, but no time left.
0.4, I think.
Oh, okay, they had some time expired. Yeah.
Which is why, in the back of my head, I'm thinking how much time's left. And before you could even say anything, Rammer comes in with, he calls a foul. I think he said 3 times. So a couple things there.
Because we think the game's over when he missed the layup, yeah.
Right.
One, that's what I was going to say. Okay.
Yeah.
Was it the excitement, or were you surprised he called the foul? It was the excitement of the...
It was the fact that we missed the layup. It's not over. He fouled him.
Right.
It was like, we still have life.
But one thing I did walk away with, and I never really thought about it, because obviously if you're a fan in the stands and you've been going crazy all game, there's that immediacy of lost adrenaline. As an athlete, there's obviously that immediate loss of adrenaline and acceptance of defeat in the toughest of circumstances. But listening to your voice, I've also come, I never really thought about it, but I guess it's the same for a broadcaster. Because you were going and going and going and going and going. Big game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, white out, whatever the actual term, you know, would have been a big win, not only for the conference, but a national game. You da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you were just like, and when he missed it. Game's over. Hunched over at the foul line. I mean, it's just like, so I could tell immediately, like, everything just ran out of your body. All the adrenaline just sort of ran out of you as well.
And I think what you try to do is capture the emotion of the moment. That I do. And that was genuine.
Yeah. Oh, no. That, yeah.
And I've always tried to do what would it be like to be sitting next to me at the game? And or what would you see if you were at the game? I think you'd see what I see. And those are the things I try to get across. So,
your issue is if you miss the first one, you are screwed mentally. If you make the first one, all right, we're good.
Not let me win it.
No pressure.
Yeah.
But you missed the first. How did it look coming off his hand? Was he shaky? Was it?
He didn't. I felt like as soon as each one off his hand, they weren't going in.
Yeah. And you could tell that it was a confidence thing.
He's not a great free throw shooter, but what was he prior to that? Eight of nine prior to that. So he's making them. In fact, you know, the team is actually doing a much better job lately. Now, that game, because he missed those two, it only went down to 65%, which percentage is something I want to talk about as we talk about all these local teams as we move forward. But there's no doubt that the previous 10 seconds of the game were weighing on him. There's no question about it. And how important it is for him to deliver for his team in a city that sounds like hyperbole, but he cares. He cares about it.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those days.
The other thing I came away from that game with, if I were 3, 4, 5, 6, I would not want to play this Billiken team in the NCAA tournament. And it's probably not going to mandate winning the tournament, but I think that was pretty much your stance all along. That really in the A-10, the only way to guarantee yourself is to win a tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
I do believe that. That's pretty much your stance. That's exactly right.
I think with the way that the season's played out, that's probably going to prove to be the case. We'll see. I mean, a lot of balls he'll be played. But I'll tell you what. This team just doesn't quit, Bob. They just don't. I mean, this is one of those teams that I would not want to play early in an NCAA tournament.
Well, because what you've got to do is figure out how to score. Because you're going to be guarded like nobody's guarded you all year. By the way, I give Davidson credit. They had a great defensive game plan and executed it brilliantly. Likewise, the Billikens know that they're going to do a good job on the defensive end, but we're having so much trouble scoring. You go back to the box scores. If this team just hits minimum acceptable shooting percentages, minimum acceptable, if you shoot 33% from the arc, that's not good. Would you say that's fair, minimum acceptable, 33%?
From the three-point line?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Rock, minimum acceptable?
The fair minimum, but you better be acceptable. Good at a lot of other stuff. That's right.
Free throw shooting, minimum acceptable, 66%. That's not good, but minimum acceptable.
Yeah, I think you can win some games with that.
If we just did those two things, we might only have two losses on the year.
Yeah.
So how do you get to minimum acceptable? I'm going to say something now that's really unfair to a kid. And Trav, I don't know him well. I've talked to him a handful of times. Travis loves him, always talks about his basketball IQ and how to play the game and all that. Deion Wiley is a guy you brought in to be a shooter. In the two terrific games he's had, the Bills won big, in big games. How he can get, you know, he was a very, very highly recruited kid out of high school, went to Maryland. Injuries have haunted him his whole career. It's not fair to put it on a kid, but that's what he's here to do. And that doesn't clean up everything. I mean, there's a lot of other things. Rashes of turnovers, missed free throws by other people, you know, all those other things. So it's not, he's the X factor. Everybody, it's a team and everybody deserves, absorbs responsibility, win or lose, right? Win or lose. But he's the X factor. When he hits, we win. It's really, that goes to that bottom line. Not fair, but that's how I see it.
And you're talking about, before the segment, about how because teams are playing zone so much, essentially the game could come to him. There's open shots out there to be made, and it's hampering them. And right now zone defenses are murdering their offensive flow because they're not taking the open shots there. And that's one guy who is getting the looks and not taking advantage of it.
He was 1 for 5 from three-point range, right? He hits one more. He's at 40%. It goes from being not very good, pretty good, to a 5. You'll take that every night. Now, that's not absolving everything else. I don't want anybody to misconstrue my words. You know, you're only 6 for 22. That's the whole team.
No, you're pointing out, Raymer, that there are single variables. They are so close that any one of these single variables and they're over the top.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make it the fault of this one guy, but you're pointing out, here's another way. They could still not be that good at this. They could still not be that good at free throws. They could still not figure out a zone. And just have one guy hit, and you're there.
I mean, to your point, if he hits that one more, if you're a great defensive team, and with Javon Best leading this squad, they are, you can win games if you hit 33% of your threes.
Absolutely.
And one more, they're 7 for 21.
Right.
You make a very good point, Bob. Very, very good point. But that can be said in other sports. If the Saints had made one more stop, or Kansas City had made one more stop, then it wouldn't be a Rammy Patriots Super Bowl, baby! Woohoo!
I don't know, man. Four of those refs from SoCal.
Rocco!
I'm just saying.
Rocco!
I'm not feeling too bad because, and we can talk about this, I think, next segment. We can talk about things stupider than this. Give me your top five dumber things than Nickell Robey Coleman saying, put the dagger in them, pull it out, and let them leak slow about Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Ladies and gentlemen, why even play the game? The Patriots are going to murder this team by 50.
Well, the funny thing is, you go back.
Why would he do it, TJ?
And I've watched that game.
Go, Pats, go.
I've watched that game twice now. You go back to shortly after that ridiculous non-foul on that kid, and he's over on the bench jumping up and down, mocking do you see what Aqib Talib sitting down saying to him?
Sit down, shut up. We got away with one there.
Exactly.
Hey, great point.
Down,
yeah, yeah.
Sit down, shut up. He said it to him. He could read his lips twice. Sit down and shut up.
And now he's
because
mouthing
you
off.
Almost cost us the game.
And now he's mouthing off.
Right.
Taunting Tom Brady and taunting the Patriots.
So is
who likes him right now in the Rams locker room?
So is Brandon Cooks, if you're paying attention.
Why?
Patrick. Okay. So there's a weird.
It's different with Cooks.
Let's. It's really not different.
No.
We'll get down to.
We're not getting away from hoops. We're not going to this game yet.
What I just said.
Because we have got to talk about the most disgraceful performance.
Well, we're
going
to go to break right now. And if you let me get it out, I was saying we're not going to go to this. We will come to this eventually. So
second hour.
We're going to eventually come to this. We're going to go to a break now.
We are going to go to a break right now. Thank you. Rock, go to break. What are you doing?
Come on, man.
Jeez.